Okay, Mark's Gospel. Good to see you back in church tonight. If you're glad you're here, say amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter number 8. If you enjoyed the singing, say amen tonight.
Amen.
If you're anticipating preaching, say amen tonight.
Amen.
Thank you. That encourages me. Mark 8:22. The Bible said, "He cometh to Bethsaida. They bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again on his eyes, made him look up. He was restored, saw every man clearly. He sent away to his house, saying, neither go in the town nor tell it to any in the town." Thank you for standing tonight. You may be seated. Father, we love you and thank you for the good day. Thank you, God. Lord, how you've seen about all of our needs here according to your riches and glory. Thank you for blessing this place. Thank you for the good hand of God that's upon this place. Now I pray you let preaching be easy tonight. God, I thank you for giving me this thought in my heart for this evening's message. Pray now you let preaching be easy. Touch us. Oh, I pray that you'd touch me with the Holy One tonight. And we'll be careful to honor you and love you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. This evening, I'm interested where he said, and he looked up in verse 24 and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he's put his hands again on his eyes, made him look up. He was restored and saw every man clearly. And now I want to preach to you a few minutes on this simple thought on things look different now. Things look different now. I want to say, first of all, my hope looks different now. Now, I will remind you that Jesus has done this for every one of us that's ever been saved by His amazing grace. I'm glad He got His hands on us. Aren't you glad that somebody introduced you to Jesus? I'm glad that somebody had a burden for me enough that would lead me to Christ. And then when I got there, I'm glad Jesus was there. I'm glad you've got a church tonight that you can lead somebody here that they may find Jesus there. And so this evening, I want to say by way of introduction that things look different to me now. Things look different to me now the older that I've got. Things look different to me now the closer that I get home. They sung about that song tonight, and Brother Michael had sung to remind us of what the Lord has done. Won't be long. Thank God Jesus is coming. But I want to say tonight, things look different now. I'm glad my hope looks different now. It's bad to not have hope in Christ. Now, this word hope, it does not mean wondering, are you going to obtain? But it simply means expecting to receive. I'm glad I have a great expectance in my hope. Now, I'm glad that my hope is not in a pope. But I'm glad it is in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Now, my hope looks different now. Verse 25, you'll notice he said he put his hands again on his eyes, made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. I'm glad in 1 John 3, verse number 1, my wife's favorite verse in the Bible, I'm glad we have a loving hope. In 1 John 3, and verse number 1, there's a action word, behold, or take attention of what's happened to you. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not ye appear, but we shall be. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Now, what do you mean? Well, what manner of love He hath bestowed upon us? What love He's given us as His Son, as a sacrifice to save us. I'm glad it is a loving hope. I'm glad Christ loves all of His children. I want to say that Christ loves everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that we have a loving Christ tonight? Aren't you glad when you was unlovable, yet He loved you? We love Him because He first loved us. Aren't you glad that He loves us tonight? Oh, we get over how much He's loved us and done for us. But I'm glad my hope has changed now that I've met this Christ. Things look different now. Thank God my hope looks different. My hope used to be in a bag. But now it's in the Lamb of God that taketh away all the sin of the world. It is a loving hope. 1 Peter 1, one of the greatest Bible characters that ever preached the gospel was Simon Peter. God used him greatly. He pulled this man out of the ranks of fishermen. He was just a common, ordinary, roughhouse type guy that God saved by His amazing grace. God said, come follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Now Peter, he's ready to meet the Lord, and God uses him to pin down parts of our Bible. He says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, he says this in verse number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. You ought to put your name at the end of this verse, reserved in heaven for you, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaven, it's through manifold temptations. We have a loving hope. I'm glad that He loved us, but thank God we have a living hope. He said that He has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus. I'm glad my hope is alive tonight. You know, it would be bad to be in the end of a tunnel. It would be bad to be in the graveyard tonight with no hope in Christ. Boy, wouldn't it be miserable if all we had was the hope and the leadership of our country. I'll bring it down where we live now. Wouldn't it be awful if we just had hope in what's going on in our economy? Wouldn't it be terrible if all we had was the hope that's with our family? But oh, it goes a lot greater than that tonight. Because it is a living hope. I'm glad He lives. It's a loving hope. Things look different now. Since I got saved, I've got a new hope. Have you got that hope in your life tonight? Expecting to receive. I'm expecting to see the Lord Jesus. Now, I have a loving hope. I have a living hope. And then, thirdly, I have a lasting hope. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 15, Peter had that. He says in 1 Peter 3 and 15, he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, and whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for the well-doing than for evil-doing. I'm glad it's a loving hope, a living hope. But yes, it is a lasting hope. I'm glad what I've got in me is going to live forever. I'm glad I'm not saved today and lost tomorrow. If I could work myself in the kingdom of God, it'd let me know that I could work myself out. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man would boast. We'd boast and brag about what we've done. Therefore, if I could work my way in, I could do something bad enough to work my way out. But aren't you glad that grace did much more? Aren't you glad that God came to where you was? You realized you was a sinner, and you called upon Him by grace through faith, and He saved you by His amazing. Has anybody ever been saved in this place tonight? Oh, I'm glad I have. It is a lasting hope There's been a lot of times that I've left it, but it's never left me. Been a lot of times that I left him, Brother Randall, but he's never left me. When I've walked in the places I didn't need to be, he said, excuse me, but I'm up in here and I got an issue with where we are. Ain't you glad he lives in you? We're a habitation of God. And we better be careful where we're taking him. We better be careful what he's listening to. You see, when Jesus touched me, things look different now. So I have a different hope now. My hope looks different now. Did you look in verse 26 in that text verse where I read over there in Mark's Gospel chapter number 8? Look what he said in verse number 26. He said, and he sent him away to his house saying, neither go in the town nor tell it to any in the town. You see, things look different now. Not only does my hope look different now, but my house looks different now. What are you saying? Well, the Bible said in verse number 26 that he sent him away to his house. Isn't it amazing when Christ does work in us, it will always show up down at the house. The house looks different now. I want to say, first of all, the wife at the house looks different now. Proverbs 18 and 22. The wife at the house looks different. I'm older now. Things look different. I've been saved now for a while. And things looking different at the house right now. In Proverbs 18 and 22, here's a verse that we ought to get accustomed to knowing because it sure will help us to read it and realize what God has done for us. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 22, he said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now tonight I want to say, things look different now. The house looks different now. The wife at that. I look at my wife, Brother Tim, different than I did 30 years ago. What a lady. What a honor. What a joy that I have found a good thing. Hun, sometimes I got that right. Good thing. Good thing. What are you saying? Praise God that He's allowed me to meet the best thing I've ever met in this world. And so we ought to esteem them highly for the work's sake of the Lord and how He has blessed us in order to find a good wife. I thank the Lord for a good wife. I wish I could take some things back that I said in years gone by. I want to address you younger men in the Lord tonight and realize this, that your wife is very precious in the sight of God. We ought to be taking care of our wife. We ought to be treating her as Christ loves the church. That's what He told us to do. I guess that's one of the largest statements that's ever been put to me on to love my wife as Christ loved the church. How did He love the church? Well, He gave Himself for us. He loves us. He keeps things going for us. And boy, now my house looks different now. Thank God for the wife that they have. Is anybody glad they married a good wife? Boy, the Bible's not confused. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. It's amazing to me if I pull my ego down what my wife knows. She helped me that, boy, it's quiet tonight. You know, did you know that the more minds you'll have together on something, the better off you're going to come out? Has it ever dawned on you that God may give you a wife to try to talk some sense into you? Hello, phone's ringing. Get it on the second ring, it's time. Oh, she don't know nothing. Well, she knows a good bit. You know, I think our wives would save us a lot of money sometime if we'd listen to them. We want to stick our chest out and be the boy dog, though, don't we? Anybody live with a boy dog? Boy dog. Roof, roof. Roof, roof. Now don't you laugh at him because you yelp like a fast dog. You. A wife is so fun. I'm so glad she can travel with me some now. We have great times together. I'm so glad God's put us together. You know something? I think that we take things for granted, but what happens when you lose your wife? What about when you've had a fuss or fight and she leaves to go to the store? I can remember in this church, there was a young lady told her daddy, said, I'm going to the store for a loaf of bread. And they walked right in that office back there and told me one evening she just got killed. What are you talking about? We never know when we leave if we're going to see each other again or not. A wife is a precious thing and she's to be nourished and held and she's to be seen about. A lot of times we take them for granted. When I was so young and dumb, man, I was out running fish and bird dogs. And my wife stayed at home. I mean, wouldn't it have been a blessing if we could just, Brother Larry, wouldn't it have been a blessing if we could just started living when we was 50? Things change when you get 50. Amen. Don't laugh. It's coming to your house. I don't get up near the way I used to get up. When I'd fall down, I'd just lay there a while. You know, when you reach down to get something, you see if it's anything else down there that needs to be got while you're down there. Amen. Now, Lord, we don't want to bend down twice. You wait. It's coming. My house looks different now. My wife looks different. I want to say this, strife looks different. What I used to turn the couch over about don't even bother me tonight. If it don't matter in 1,000 years, won't you let it go? My wife made me mad yesterday. Well, she did. You ought to live with us. I wanted to wear jeans so bad. To a place she said, you ain't wearing them. I said, I am from going. She said, you ain't wearing them. And I pulled a pair of khakis out and put them on. And they didn't fit good. I said, I ain't wearing them. My belly's too big. She said, well, that ain't them britches trouble. I got them khakis and throwed them on the bed. Got me a pair of dress. Now watch this. Got me a pair of dress pants out. Got where we was going. And I looked and I said, oh, thank you, hon, for letting me dress up today. Hello, get it on the third ring. Get it. Boy, she knowed a lot. And you know, without this strife at the house, my house looks different to me. Let me tell you something. Strife ain't worth it. It's like what I was preaching about this morning. I know that bulldog can whoop that skunk, but is it really worth the stink? You ever been sprayed with a polecat? You can't wash it off. My little cousin, Tennessee, his little fast dog, Brother Mark, treed in a brush pile in the hole, and he run over there. And the little dog was dug down that hole and he grabbed him. He said, what you after? Pulled him out by the tail and said, pshh. Man, they took his clothes off. They rubbed him in lemon all over. They couldn't get it off of him. I don't know why in the world some of you trying to whoop a skunk. It ain't worth it. See, us men's totally different. We throw all our little marbles off in the floor and we done with it. She's got an issue. They ain't been picked up, put back in place yet. Anybody live with a woman? They geared different. Quit trying to figure it out and just say, yes, ma'am, go on. That'll help you.
Oh, not me, preacher.
That's why you stinking all the time. Man, I like things to be great at my house. My house looks different now. You know something, things that won't matter in 100 years, let it go. It's really not that important. It's if do you have each other. You know, I think a lot of times we have to get to the point where we're thinking that we're going to lose one another before we really appreciate one another. You ought to tell your wife every day you love her. Well, you don't live with my wife. Well, that's your problem. That ain't my problem. I'm fixing my house. You deal with yours. Wife at the house, strife at the house. And then the life at the house. Thank God for living. Some of you live in such a fast-paced world. You need to slow up some and realize what God has really done for you in life and what really matters. I mean, when you start getting grandchildren and you that are raising your young children now, listen, I know they're on your toes right now, but you give it a little while, they're going to be on your heart. Savor the moments. Enjoy your children. I was way too fast to enjoy my little children. You know, things look different to me now. My hope looks different. Thank God I got hope in somebody. A lot of you, all you've got hope in is in a job. What about when you lose it? My hope looks different. My house looks different. My wife looks different. The strife looks different. You know, we're to be heirs together. Look at this right here, 1 Peter 3. I really feel like the Lord wants me to read this verse tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Very impactful verse. It's a verse that we need to underline and remember what he said. And let's look at it just a minute, ladies. And men, let's look at it, 1 Peter 3. Isn't it amazing that Simon Peter would write this passage inspired of the Holy Ghost? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation. And that's lifestyle of the wives. In other words, if your husband's lost, live a life of Christianity in front of him and you can win him. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands. Here it is. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, and be pitiful and be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now, likewise, ye husbands, verse 7, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. See, it does matter about the strife of the house. You need to be in the right type of unity and the right type of spirit. How are you going to pray for your children if you're divided with one another? It's not worth it. Just your little pet peeves, it's not worth it. Ma'am, listen, he don't have to do everything you think he's supposed to do. And sir, she don't have to do everything you think that she's supposed to do. You got to have grace with one another. And it's so funny. Little things that used to just tear me up about my wife, that's her nature. I'm never going to change it. So I might as well deal with it and be happy. Boy, it's quite the night. Y'all need to quit trying to change each other and be who God called you to be and be Christians in your home. I got mad at Renee yesterday and I apologized. I hate eating crow, don't you? I can't preach mad at my wife. And I'm going to be honest with y'all tonight. I love Renee Bowman. I love her too much to stay married at her. She ain't heard me yet. She's playing the grandbaby. I love her too much to be mad at her. Isn't that a good approach to have? It's not worth it. Ladies, if you would just try to encourage your husband and not beat him up all the time, you may be surprised how he reaches out to you. And when he reaches to you, some of you do this. What's that all about? I love being married to my wife. I love it. She's my best friend. Me and Renee started dating. She had long red hair to here. Was it her mom and dad? She took a hose pipe. And she washing her car. And she just sprayed me. She thought that's so funny, you know. She got me all wet. Well, she went in the house. I seen a 5-gallon bucket of water. And so I just filled that bucket full. And I sat on the corner of the house. And her brother called her out. When she come around, I just took that 5-gallon bucket, put it right on top of her head. She, all that hair just went everywhere, you know. Well, a lot of you would have divorced over that. Aren't you glad you can live with somebody to be heirs together? See the blessings of God on your home in ways like you've never been able to experience them and see them. Some of you young couples, you don't know what it is for me and her to sit at that table and look at them grandbabies come through the house and enjoy each other, jump in a pool, have good times together. Let me tell you, that's living. Do you hear me tonight? It's not about how much money you can put in a bank. It's not how high you can get in. Everybody ought to have ambitions and goals. But let me tell you something, that ought to not be the focal point. Family. And listen, our church is never going to be stronger than its families. We need to get back in this Bible and go to living by it. Sir, maybe the reason she's so cold to you, you've not went by this book yet and given her the respect and the things that she needs. Don't you realize when you're crossed, your prayers are hindered? Boy, my house looks different now. Wife of the house, strife of the house, and the life of the house. Then look what he does, and I close tonight. I love what he done. On things look different now. His hope looks different now. Our house looks different now. He went back to it. But look what he done. The Bible said this. He said, verse 25, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. I want to say heaven looks different now. Heaven is a real place. In John 14, there's the Savior's declaration. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the Savior's declaration. Then Acts chapter number 1, you'll see there is the angel's confirmation about the Lord returning from heaven. He said in Acts chapter number 1, Verse number 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Heaven ought to be looking different to us tonight. You see, Jesus is coming. And we that are saved, we're going. And you that are not saved, you're not going. Preacher, how do I get saved? I accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And if you want to be saved, He's still in the saving business. Now, heaven looks different now. There's a few things that gives me an incentive to live or to do. He touched him and he made him look up. And I'm going to tell you something. Heaven ought to be looking different to some of us tonight than it's ever looked, because it's closer than it was yesterday. And the way it receives us is the way it's going to keep us. Now this gives me an incentive, first of all, to have charity. Jesus said, "They'll know you're my disciples if you have love one to another." Boy, I want to love you. I want to be right with you, right with my neighbor, and I want to love Jesus. It ought to give us incentive, not only for charity, but it ought to give us a great incentive for separation. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. As I said earlier, the way He finds us is the way He keeps us. You see, this is the dressing room for eternity. We don't get a second shot when we go there. You know, I don't know why that you're not right with your brother or your fellow man, because somebody that's between you and God, they're closer to God than you are. And heaven ought to look different to us tonight. It ought to give us incentive for charity and separation and for abiding. Boy, I want to walk with Him, don't you? For purity. I want to live a holy lifestyle. He said, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." It gives me a great incentive for diligence. Let me tell you what, it's going to be worth it when we get there. You teachers that seem like nobody cares, you better remember that Jesus told this early church. He said something to them that ought to ring out in our heart in 1 Corinthians 15:58 on steadfastness and service. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The devil will tell you nobody cares. People do care. There's a generation that's counting on us. Don't lose sight. You see, things look different now. My hope looks different. Thank God. Has anybody got hope tonight? My house looks different. Whatever Jesus does for you, wherever He does it for you, you'll be sure to take it where you live. Boy, I thank God for my wife and children and little grand-youngins. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God for our church family. I do. I love being the pastor here. I love the people here. And we ought to love each other and savor the moments and realize this is living. Man, in a couple of Sunday nights, we're going to have an ice cream supper. Some of you will go home. You ought to stay. Well, we can't make ice cream. Some of us can. Stay and enjoy. Boy, heaven looks different. Made him look up. You looked up lately. Heaven sure is getting brighter. Miss Sherry, would you come tonight if you could? And I want to ask if you'd play something tonight. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved tonight. Boy, it'd be a good night for you to give your life to Christ. Maybe you're here and you don't have this hope that we've preached about tonight. There is hope in Christ, and that's the only place where you can put your hope. Because He's a loving hope, He's a living hope, and He's a lasting hope. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus can. Jesus will. If you come to Him. Wouldn't it be a blessing tonight if God would do something for your house? I will tell my wife publicly I love her. I wished I could take back a lot of things I've said in 30 years. But it's sort of like a gun, Brother Lee. Once you've shot it, that bullet's gone. And all I can do is move on and try to do right now. And that's what I'm going to try to do.